that when we are gathered together in your name, you are right there in our midst. But we welcome you. We ask you, Lord, to hear in your strength and in your majesty that you will speak to our hearts this morning, that you will receive our worst sweet-smelling incense. So Lord, we put this server hands, and that your anointing strong in here and online. We bless you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. I started this series back many weeks ago. This morning, this is the 10th message in Galatians, and we're just going to finish up chapter 4. Still got 2 weeks to go. 4, beginning at verse 21. Tell you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman, the other by a free woman. But he who was a woman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman the promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us. For it is written, rejoice, Aaron, you who do not bear. Forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, Isaac, are children of promise. He who was born according to flesh, then persecuted him who was born of spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, does the scripture say, cast out the bond of your son, for the son of the bond shall not be heir with the son of the friend of the free. Brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah. Father, again, I thank you for your word. And as we get into this, I pray, Lord, you give us this understanding. Lord, there's a lot in here, and yet it's very simple when it's broken down. So, Lord, I ask that you will use me to discern this word, to rightly discern this morning. Father, that you will have your word with each and every one of us, both here and online. Jesus, teach us. Holy Spirit, instruct us. Lord, I am before you, and I ask you, Lord, use me in my frailty, in my weakness. Use me. Because when I am weak, then you are strong. Thank you, Lord, in name. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome, Duck family. Yay. Got here in time in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, end of the chapter. Paul starts out this portion by saying, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? This whole this has been looking at this in between the law and grace. Are you glad you're under? Okay? Yes. All right, are you glad you're not under the law? Yes. You know, Paul was very clear about Ephesian church. We're no longer under law, but we're by grace saved, not of works. Any man should boast. So he says, so you tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? He's talking to the people in Galatia area, you know, that you've been saved. You've had to taste the grace of God, and now you're going back to the law. You're starting adding stuff to grace. Specifically, they're adding circumcision to it. And Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, Paul, who knew the and lived strictly by the law for so long, and then God got a hold of him, down on the road to Damascus, and opened his eyes and showed him what salvation is all about. Paul was saved. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was just a changed man, totally changed man. And here saying to the people in Galatia, you want to go back? You want to go back to the law? You want to go back to all of those rules and regulations? Remember something Jesus did say. Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to Praise God for that. So he goes on and says, so I got the wrong page. Here we go. Tell me, you who desire under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one woman and the other by a free woman. The one woman was Hagar, who had Ishmael. The free woman was Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac. Here he's saying, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman, the other by a free woman. In Romans chapter 9, if you will there with me, in Romans chapter 9, Paul said this to the Roman church, in verse 6, he says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. They are not all Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Now remember, both Ishmael and Isaac were of the seed of Abraham. All right, so they're both of the same father, but they were brother and mother. And he says, no, all children, because they are of the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are children of the flesh, they're not the children of God, but the children of promise, are counted as a seed. So Paul is saying to the Galatian church, that Abraham had two sons, the one of a bondwoman and a free woman. He who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the woman according to the promise. I don't know if you understand that, but it's very clear if you look with me in Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. God shows us in his word, beginning at verse 15, he says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his feet, laughed and said in his heart, shall there be born to a man who is 100 years old and shall... who is 90 years old, bear a child. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live with you. Then God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him and for lasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. Will make him fruitful. Will multiply him exceeding. He shall get 12 princes, and I will make him a great... But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at time next year. Now, God has already told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations. He and Sarah were going to have a child. But year after year, she did not conceive. She had a child. And then she ended up saying to Abraham, take my handmaiden, Hagar, go into her, and maybe we can have children through her. You see, have you ever tried to help God out? You know, two people said amen. Have you ever tried to help? And he gives you a promise, and you try to look how you can make that promise come to pass. You see, if God gives you a promise, it's up to him to pass. It's up to obedient to him. But here, Sarah said to Abraham, take Hagar, my handmaid, and go into her, and maybe we can have through her. But see, this was the child of the flesh. It was trying to help out, not waiting upon God for God to bring to pass promise. But his promise was not canceled out because he tried to help him out. He still brought the promise. Then God said to Abraham, and Sarah, your wife, you shall call her, not call her name, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Do you believe God? Come on. I know there's a few of us in here, so you got better than that. Do you believe God? Yeah. Do you believe his word? Yeah. He gives you a promise. Are you willing to believe him? Stand on that no matter how long it takes. Yeah. All right. But see, Abraham and Sarah decided they want to help God out. Back into our text. Verse 23, but he who of the bondwoman was born according to flesh, the free woman, through promise, which are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which birthed the bondage. That's where the law came from, Mount Sinai. God gave Moses, and Moses brought it to the Hebrew children. Covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, bonds to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is us all. Hallelujah. We have covenants here, the covenant of bondage and the covenant of freedom. Which one do you want? You want freedom? Then freedom for the way you walk. Bondage is the was given for two purposes. One, it was given to show us what sin is. The second is to direct us towards Christ, so that Christ would be seen and be understood, would be recognized when he came. And yet, the religious leaders recognize him, because Jesus had a way of setting the apple cart. You know, when he came, things got shaken up. But for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds with Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is, rejoice, O barren, do not bear. Break forth and shout, out, you who labor. For the desolate has many more than she who has a husband. Now we brother Isaac was, our children of, now that verse 27 just seems like Paul take this, that only seems to be element, and plops it right in the middle, and goes, there, now, handle it. You know, and I'm looking, seeing that when you read scripture, and all of a sudden, this is one portion just seems to be right there, and it doesn't make any sense. Anybody besides me ever have a problem? Right, so I that, and I went back to where in the scriptures, it's Isaiah 54. I want you to go there with me. In Isaiah 54, in Isaiah 54, I'm going to eight verses. Because this is where it comes from. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth to singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child. For more are children of the desolate, the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your curtains, strengthen your stakes. For you shall extend to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations, make the desolate cities inhabited. Fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you get the shame of your youth, and not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit. Youthful wife, when you are refused, says your God. A mere moment I have seen you. With great mercies gather you. With a little wrath I raise from you for a moment. But with lasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. When Isaiah wrote this, he's not writing to a woman who is barren. But remember, this was just before Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is one of the most profound prophecies in Scripture, speaking of the Messiah, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the one come and gives salvation. You know, it says things like, you know, who's believe our report, verse 1 and 53. And to whom is the arm of the Lord be revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no former comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by a man of sorrows and acquainted with, and we hid, as it were, faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. And on, he was wounded for our aggressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace upon him. His stripes, we are healed. And on, speaking of Messiah, speaking of Jesus, that Jesus knew what was going to happen before he even came. He knew what was going to happen. And this was prophesied 8 years before Jesus even of what Jesus was going to do. And then God gives Isaiah this next thing to say in chapter 15. As he shows how great and wonderful that this Messiah is going to. Then he says to us, spoken to Israel, this was spoken to God's people. He says, sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into sin and cry out, who have not labored with child. I want you to know, Jesus was saying, I want you to know that I'm going to be bringing fruit in your life. I'm going to be bringing my Spirit to you. I'm going to be bringing my Savior to you, my Son. Where you're no longer going to bear no fruit, but there's going to be fruit. He's speaking to the church. More are the children of the desolate than of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the space of your tent. So he's telling us to look through faith. Enlarge the space of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Not spare, lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. You shall expand the right and to the left, and your descendants inherit the nations and make cities inhabited. I read that, and I'm this, along with what he read in Isaiah 3, and that this is this is what God is bringing to the church, God's people, bringing to Israel, saying, "Hear." And now, if you will allow him to come in, your tents are going to explode. You're going to grow. There's in your life. There's going to be fruit in your ministry. There's going to be fruit in the temple. But what did the Israelite leader do? But rejected him. I pray none of us would do that. Here or online, never reject this Messiah. But allow him to have that place in our lives, that we rule our lives. Back to our text in Galatians. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the dead has many more children than she who has a husband. Now, brethren, as Isaac was, our promise. You realize this, that you are children of promise. You're not walking in the law, walking in grace. You're a children of promise. It was very clear, even in Romans, looked at it a few minutes. It's nice. It says, you're a children of the promise. If you're not children of us, you're not children of God. It was very clear about that. You're not children of God. In order to be a child of God, you've got to be into the family. And you know, I adopted two kids. When we adopted Lauren, she was not my daughter. But when we adopted her, she became my daughter. And now she's giving us children, which is great. We have grandchildren because we didn't. It's that grandparents had for not killing her kids when they were teenagers. Yeah. But you see, she was not my child until I adopted her. After she became fully my daughter. With full rights to the inheritance that Kathy and I at present are spending. No. But the inheritance, what is it? You know, Lauren, 30 years old, she's married. Three children. She has a career. Or has a career. They've got things going for them that I'm just so proud and blessed to see that they're right. You know, they're at that place. They need me, but you know, Lauren comes to the house. Doesn't she just opens in like she owns the place? Why? She does. This is her inheritance. It is her home. Blessed that Kyle has gotten into the place that now too. He just walks in. And when he walks, because he's like this tall and his shoulders like this big, and he's high, you know, and strong man. But the point is there are, she has an inheritance. She's my daughter. I don't care how old I get and how old she is. She'll never be as old as me. She's my daughter. I love her to pieces. But I'm in a place where I allow her to run her life. And yes, sometimes she decisions that I don't agree with. But you see, her life. I'm her father. I'm here. I'm her counsel. She wants it. But I'm not jamming it down her throat. even though I really want to. But it gives me an understanding of my Heavenly Father. I'm His son. You know, are you a son? Are you His daughter? He allows you to live your life. He wants you. He wants to guide you, but He allows you to lead your life. I know that when Lauren comes to me and she says, you know, Dad, I need counsel. You know how that makes me feel? As a father, it makes me feel really good. As her dad, it shows me how much she respects me and honors me. How does Heavenly Father feel when we come to Him and say, Father, to do? I'm coming to You because of the covenant that I have with You that You cut with me on me. And I'm coming to You because I need wisdom. And Your word says, if any of you lack wisdom, simply ask it of me, and I will give it to you without reproach. But you must ask faith. Are you hearing it this morning? This the difference between the covenant of bondage and the covenant of grace. See, the covenant of bondage, there's no real relationship with it was all contained in, I can get to heaven when I do this and this correctly. As long as I do this and this and this and this correctly, then I will be good. I'm good to go. You know that you get to heaven through the law? That's very, very rarely said. You can get to heaven through the law if you keep every single jot and tittle of the law. And not one of us can. And God, that's why He gave us. You can't keep the law. I can't. Time and time again, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to miss the mark. You know what this sin means to miss that mark? That what are you aiming at? So God gave me His son. I'm no longer under bondage. That's what the law is. It's such a... But I'm under grace. I don't know about you, but I am so glad of that. Now, 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was children of promise... Can you say that this morning? I'm a child of promise. I am a child of promise. God has given me some promises in His word that's coupled together with the work that He did on the cross. Without the cross, there's no promises. With the cross, there's all kinds of promises. Now we, brethren, as are children of promise. But as He who was born according to the flesh persecuted Him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so, it is now. And I kind of wrestled with that. You know, God, what do you mean? You're either under grace or you're not. This world hate real Christians. Have you found that out? Why? Because we've got grace. Because you're, at least I hope you are. I hope that you are in your heart. Whether we honor or base you to be content. Filled with love. I hope that we demonstrate that. Everything that this world is. And when we allow light to shine before men, there's a lot of them just don't get. And we end up persecuted for it. Well, Satan hates it. And Satan is the ruler of this world. And we get persecuted when we shine the light of Jesus. And it says, nevertheless, what does the script say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the woman. God is saying to us that not to get wrapped up in that whole thing of the bondage of the law. Because it is just, all it is competition and hate. And I got to be better. I've got to do this better. I've got to do it. Rather than throwing yourself to the sea of God and saying, God, I can't do it better. I need Your help. I need Your grace. I need Your mercy. I need Your love. I need You. The law doesn't cut it. But that cross did. Because it did. So then, brethren, we are not children, but of the free. Just a short message. But Paul was whole letter dealing with those trying to be good enough to please rather than just staying in the presence of the Lord and know in his eyes because of what he did. He sees you and he looks at you through the work of the cross, Son. It's by the blood you are saved. It is by his blood you are washed clean. It is by his blood that you have salvation. Hallelujah for that. That's how God sees you. The Father doesn't look straight at you. He looks at you through the lens of his Son. Through the lens of his Son. And what he sees through the lens of his Son is pure and holy and gracious and filled with love and filled with purpose and filled with all that God wants him to have you have. So cast out the woman. Hang on to the... Cast out legalism and hang on to grace. For you are saved of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I think that scripture, rejoice, O barren, and you who do not bear. Break forth and shout. You who are in labor. The desolate has many more children than she has a husband. Father, pray that we will always bear in our relationship. That we don't get caught up in trying to do things, but allow your life through us. And it's only grace that we can do that. Grace, mercy, peace. This is all understanding. To guard our hearts and our minds through you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you will speak to my heart in areas where I to good enough. That I would just know, Lord, and to allow you to live your life through me. That's all. That's all you ask of me. Allow you to live your life through me. Thank you for Jesus. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. God's people said, and let's stand. We're going to close with a song. As I do every Sunday morning, I pass this blessing on you at every service. May he bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. And they give you peace. That peace is all understanding that will guard your heart and guard your mind through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give you grace, mercy, and peace. And I pray that you will dwell in those in name. Amen.